This time I'm going to ask Sue Whiteman to come. And Sue, you can use the floor mic or you can come up to the pulpit if you like and give special testimony.
I was brought up in a wonderful family-oriented home. Always went to Sunday school, always went to church, always went to the kids' programs, but I wasn't a Christian. Didn't know the Lord, didn't even hear how to be saved, didn't even know what it meant to be saved. Didn't hear that term in our church. Was in an ABC church, which American Baptist Church. Very liberal, to say the least. When I was 12, I got to be baptized, and I could sing in the choir. I could do those churchy things, but never knew what salvation was all about. As I say, never even heard about it in Sunday school. Sunday school was typically some Bible stories, but really nothing penetrated through the years. And it wasn't until I was in a little church in New England. My folks had a cabin up in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, and I spent most of my summers there. And there was a little chapel in a little town called Littleville, which is no longer there. But that's where I first heard the gospel. And there was a gospel team from Providence, who was then Providence Bible Institute, a wonderful Bible-oriented school. And this team came and ministered in this little church. And that was when I first heard about salvation. And that was the kids that represented the school were wonderful. They followed through a long time with me, kept corresponding with me, and but I was like in a fog for a long time. I really didn't grasp what I had done. When they asked for a decision, I did raise my hand, and they talked with me and so forth, but with me, I don't know whether it was dumb or what, but it took me a long time to really grasp what it meant to come to Christ and accept him as my savior. So through the years, I grew. I did listen to what was then called the Voice of Prophecy. It was Seventh-day Advent Bible study that they had on the radio. And so I signed up for a course, and they were wonderful. All the courses came, and I'd have to write them out, the answers out, and I'd send them in, and they would reply, and they were terrific, until I got to, I'm trying to think now what the scripture was, but there was a certain scripture, and then I knew, maybe I had shared it with somebody, and they said, you don't want to go there, because they're going to take you off in the wrong direction. So up to that certain point, things were fine, and I was, like I say, growing, but I didn't know any scripture at all. And after I came to know the Lord, and Steve did too, we went to a different church. We started going to a really good Bible preaching believing church. My folks stayed in the ABC church because they weren't Christians. And it was really in this church that people grabbed hold and guided me along the way. And one of the gals, she said, Sue, you know what? She said, you know, it'd be great if you could get off to a Bible school. And while I wasn't a student, I didn't like school at all and was glad when it was over. And but I said, well, you know, she kind of encouraged me, and I talked to my mom and dad, even though they weren't a Christian. They said, okay, if you want to do that. So I looked into several different Christian colleges. And this gal that was talking to me about going on for at least a year, and she had gone there, and it was the King's College, which was then Percy Crawford's. I don't know if you've ever heard of Percy Crawford, but he was a wonderful evangelist. And so anyway, Dad said, if you want to go, fine. So I did. I went for a year, and it was wonderful. But I had to take personal evangelism, and all these kids, a lot of them were from Christian homes. I barely knew the Lord's, you know, the 23rd Psalm. And in fact, I flunked personal evangelism, and I realized, you know, how little I knew, which was next to nothing compared to a lot of these kids that were from Christian homes and had been exposed to all kinds of scripture and all kinds of various things that you do as a Christian. And I went to movies, I went to dances, I did all the worldly things. But anyway, to shorten my testimony, through the years, and we've moved around a lot, as you know, and gotten to a lot of different churches, but and good Bible preaching churches. We did end up in another ABC church, which was, excuse me, when we were in Maine, and they were Bible preaching believing. So out of the two ABCs, this was really a good church where we could grow and learn more about the things of the Lord. So anyway, after I wanted to encourage Pastor with this, after I came home from my first year of college, my dad, he could see a real change in my life. And he said, you know, Sue, if you want to go back for another year, I'll send you. And he still wasn't a Christian at the time. My mother was a Christian. She was a quiet Christian. And but eventually, my dad came to know the Lord. And it was through what he could see in my life, how it had changed. So don't ever give up on praying for somebody for their salvation, because the Lord has to get a hold of us like he did get a hold of me. I'm still growing, still feel like an infant in a lot of ways, scripture-wise. But I'm growing, and I thank you for our church and for all the encouragement that we can give each other. Thank you for our pastor, who's certainly encourages us, and Pastor Paul, too, as they're so well grounded in the Word, and this is what we need, what we all need to keep going, keep on for the Lord.
Going to ask John Grime if he'd come at this time and give a testimony on whatever he would like, okay?
Well, I guess this is good for me because I don't very often talk about what's going on and what God's doing in my life. I just want to kind of bounce it off of this verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun that good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, you know, each one of us, God is working in our lives. I think of the object lesson where there's a tapestry, and on the back it's all different strings and knots all tied together going in a hodgepodge of different directions, but when you turn it over, there's a beautiful picture there. And somebody once illustrated that that's kind of the way our lives are. You know, we many times we look at it from the back side, and we don't always see what God is doing. So I guess I'm just going to talk for a minute about my little piece of thread in that tapestry as I'm looking at it from the back side. The last year or so of my life, and Joanne's life, I have to say, because we're in this together, has been a bit of a whirlwind. Starting probably a year ago, we got a call that Bob wasn't feeling good, and we ended up taking him into the hospital, and that left Mom home alone, which meant that Joanne and I uprooted from our home and moved in to take care of Mom. And I'm going to move quickly through the year, but and then that became difficult, and we ended up having to move Mom, which was a very difficult decision for Joanne and I, to put her into a assisted living home. It broke our hearts to, almost felt like we were betraying her. And then after that, of course, last fall I fell and broke my foot and was on crutches for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, and still healing through that. And now Bob's funeral, and then my dad passed away. So those are some of the things God's doing. Now, let's talk about what's happening in my life, but let's talk about what God's doing. Because we have to flip the tapestry over and see what he's doing. I don't know if I can answer all those things, but one, mom is wonderfully happy in her home. She's doing just great. And what a blessing that is. You know, she's happy and she's cared for far better than Joanne and I could ever do. One of the things that happened when I fell and hurt my foot, God really slapped me in the face. I was actually going in the wrong direction. And God used that in my life in an amazing way to slow me down and to depend on other people, especially depending on my wife. She was such a trooper, and she was and is such a blessing to me. I never really learned to love her as much as I do now through that trial in my life. And I praise God for that. What a great blessing that was. And God continues to work in so many ways. I got to go to Florida and see my dad as he was dying. I guess in some ways he would never listen to the gospel, but I had a captive audience, and I was able to, Chuck and I were able to share very clearly the gospel with him, and we read a lot of scripture to him. And I don't know, they said that he can hear. Honestly, he did seem to calm down and be a little bit easier after that. I don't know whether he got saved, God knows. But God is good, isn't he? And then again, finally yesterday at Bob's memorial service, I praise God for Pastor and the great message that he gave. I mean, we hear that message all the time. He gave the salvation message so clearly on how to be saved. And there were so many here that, I mean, you don't know it, and Pastor didn't know it, but I know what's working in a lot of people's lives that were here yesterday and how they needed to hear that message. One of my cousins just found out he has colon cancer. He doesn't know the Lord. What a great message for him to hear. There's others that were sick. Others, even of my own family, I had a couple son-in-laws here that are not saved, and I've witnessed to them so many times. And what a great privilege they had to hear the gospel so clearly presented to him. And I just think about how, I mean, we were here when Steve Little was here, that I could just think of God is working that, even though they didn't get saved, there's that pre-salvational work that he's doing. And he was doing that yesterday. And things were happening. I mean, we might not see it. And Jan and I were just talking, you know, how someone was witnessing to her, and he had no idea that what God was doing in her heart. And she said, are you trying to, you know, get me to convert? Because God is sure speaking to me. Well, he didn't have any idea, and we don't have any idea. But God knows, doesn't he? God knows exactly what he's doing. So I just praise the Lord for what he's doing in my life. And I praise the Lord. And each one of us, I was thinking about that, each one of us is a little piece of that thread in that tapestry. And each one of us could probably come up here and you know, we could go on all night about what God's doing in your lives too. And it all works together for his glory. So God is a great God, and be confident that he that began that work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hey, Ed, come give us something from the Word, will you? Turn the mic down, Jeremiah.
When I took my Sunday school training in this church, I remember telling Pastor Riggs, I can't wait to start teaching adult Sunday school, because I can't wait to get in these real, deep, theological discussions about the Word of God. And I remember Pastor saying to me, we need somebody to teach the junior high schoolers. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, who do you have in mind? And he says, well, I would ask that you would go and pray about it. Yeah, no problem. So I went home and I got before God. And I said, Lord, you really don't want me teaching the kids. You really don't want me teaching the kids. And the next day, I walked into this church and told Pastor Riggs, I'll teach the kids. And I was reminded just about 5 minutes ago why he had me do this. Scripture admonishes people like Ron Wright and Jack Ball and Jerry Dale and me to teach the next generation. And I walked in and I looked in our nursery, and there are kids in the nursery. How long has that nursery been empty? How long has that nursery been lights off, no need for the nursery, because our kids didn't come home, and now our kids are coming home. This church dies. This church has a for sale sign on it in 20 years if we don't continue to teach our kids. Amen. Who wants to drive by this church in 20 years and say, oh yeah, the Word of God used to be preached in that church. I used to go there. That was an alive church. That church seeded other churches. That church was the place you wanted to go to hear the Word of God. Who wants to drive by that church and see this place empty? Not me. I know you don't. You laid bricks in this church. You did work in this church. Who built this church and wants to see it given up and not no longer a place where people can come and hear the truth? That's why God poked me that day, that I kept saying, no, Lord, I don't want to teach the kids. And he kept saying, yeah, you need to. And I'll tell you, this year has been wonderful. And I'm glad Nathaniel is back today, because up until Nathaniel left, in the last 2 or 3 years before Nathaniel left, in Sunday school, a question would get asked, and every head would turn, and they'd all look at Nathaniel, waiting for him to give an answer. And I have to say, Nathaniel knows his scripture, and he always gave a good answer. But Nathaniel, I'm glad you left. Because when you left, Brock Burkow became Mr. Theology. And there have been times in our Sunday school where Alan and I have to stop Brock because we can't get any, we have a lesson to give. And what you're bringing is good, and we'll discuss this later. Brock stepped up. Noah stepped up. They all have stepped up because they realize they don't have a go-through guy anymore. But they all stepped out. I see the Foster boys when we put them into different groups. I see Trey and Justin, and they're always involved, and they always come up with answers. I see the girls. Today it was so funny. The boys tripped over Abimelech and his son's name. Karina Alt just rolled off her tongue like she grew up saying those names all her life. I have seen a growth in our children, in our teens. I see them starting to understand what God means to them in their lives. And I start to see it. Alan and I were lucky. I have been away for 2 of the 4 months, the first 4 months of the year in a working with my mother and taking care of her. And Ben Whiteman stepped in and filled the gap. And Ben kind of changed things being younger than Alan and I. And he came up with a little bit different format that the kids are thriving on. And that's the format that we're using. Put them into groups, let them discuss questions and come up with answers over scripture that we just studied. And they come up with good answers. To the point Christian Brown this morning dug through the Bible. Our kids know how to look at that center concordance in their Bible and find corresponding scripture and give a reason and substantiate the answers they're given. And I already had an assignment add to what Alan had given Christian and his group the question, and I'm sitting there going, he went right to where he should and nailed all of this. And I told him today, how wonderful is it when we discuss things in Sunday school and you come up with answers, and then pastor stands on the pulpit and substantiates everything we talked about. And Christian just nodded his head and said, it's great. Our children are the lifeblood that will continue this church preaching the Word of God. If you haven't invested some time in the youth of this church, I beg you, extend yourself to them. Spend some time with them. Get to know the kids of this church. Because I'm going to be losing Solomon pretty soon. And I'm going to lose Brock pretty soon. And eventually, all of our seniors and juniors are going to leave, and we're going to have a whole new age class of teens in there. Julie's hoping I don't pick on her. See, Julie doesn't like it when I teach, because I told Julie, I'm calling on you. I'm going to make you answer questions. And Julie hates that. But God bless you, Julie, you never don't have an answer, and you always have a good answer because you study the lesson and you're learning about the things of God. So I know I can call on Julie, just like I used to be able to call on Nathaniel and know I was going to get a solid answer. It's my job to make you ready, to give a defense in season and out of season for the reason, for the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's my job. As a Sunday school teacher, I can make you kids ready. And I don't ever want any of you coming back and saying, I forgot that. I couldn't give an answer. Because that reflects back on me. That reflects back on Alan. It's our job to make you ready. Because I don't ever want to drive by this church and see it for sale.